We've been talking this year and bringing a series on immeasurably more. And it's my desire and prayer, and I believe it's the desire and prayer of this Deer Run family, that we see God do immeasurably more in us and through us throughout the coming year. And to do that, it's important to recognize what that looks like, not simply from a receiving aspect, but from a giving aspect. And this morning we're going to focus in, it's kind of a progression, I don't know if you've noticed it yet, we began this series with immeasurably more prayer. Because I believe that's the foundation of seeing God do immeasurably more as we draw near to Him, as we spend time in prayer, understanding His nature and His will so that we can accomplish it, but more importantly, so that He can accomplish it through us. And so that immeasurably more prayer has us praying first. It has us praying intentionally, and there's still bookmarks out on the table in the foyer that you can help guide you through a week of being more intentional about praying for specific people within different categories. And we move from immeasurably more prayer to immeasurably more love. And recognizing that God has set the example of loving us so much that He sent His Son to pay the price that we could never pay. And we understand that through our relationship with God, through our time spent with God. And we understand that that love is not simply an immeasurably more love that we receive through the gift of Jesus, but it ought to be an immeasurably more love that we express to one another and to the people around us at our workplace, at our schools. And everything that we do ought to be wrapped around that. And because we excel in this immeasurably more love, we ought to be more involved in serving. And we talked about that last week. That idea of immeasurably more serving, of being more involved. And not just accumulating a head knowledge of God's Word, but putting it into our heart and our mind and our life in such a way that it's seen by the way we treat one another, by the way we serve. This morning we're going to look at immeasurably more giving. In a sense, it's that microcosm of serving. Serving involves giving. It's definitely bigger than that. It involves so much more. But when I think about giving, I think that it's pretty easy to recognize that God Himself set the standard for giving. It says, Bible says that while we were enemies in our mind with God, He sent His Son Jesus to die for our sins. Jesus said that there are some who would perhaps give their life, give themselves for a friend, but how many would do that for an enemy? And yet that's what God did, and He sets this standard for giving. So this morning we're going to look at what that is, what that looks like, and we're going to be spending time in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. And just kind of pulling some highlights out of those two chapters. We're not going to read through the entirety of both of them. But in 2 Corinthians 8, the end of verse 7 says this: "See that you also excel in this grace of giving." Now that made me stop and pause and consider, because when I think of grace, I think of God's gift to us. We often define grace as this unmerited favor, this undeserved gift from God. And Paul writes and he says, you ought to excel in this undeserved gift from God of giving. And how often do we think about the gift of giving? I wonder, when we think about giving, do we prefer to give or to receive? It's a tough question to ask out loud in a church setting because we know the answer we ought to give. But so much of our life is wrapped around satisfying ourselves in such a way that it at least appears like that tendency to receive is stronger. Now, the good news is God desires that we do both. In fact, God himself says, "What do you have that you have not first received?" And so to excel in this grace of giving says that I'm willing to acknowledge that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of heavenly lights that does not change. And when we begin to recognize that what we have has been received, we ought to be more willing to excel in the grace of giving. Paul writes, and it's a fascinating quote because we don't see it in any of the Gospels, but we know from Scripture that Paul had this encounter with Jesus, that Jesus himself appeared to him on the road to Damascus and taught him everything that he would need to know in order to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And so Paul quotes Jesus as saying, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And so as I consider what it does it look like for this immeasurably more giving, I want us to consider what it looks like to have a great gift. And we're going to use that word gift as our outline this morning because I think there's four elements that Paul writes to the Corinthians about excelling in this grace of giving. The first is this great gift that God wants us to excel in is a great generosity. To recognize that God's desire is that we share freely just as we receive freely from Him. 2 Corinthians 8, beginning at verse 1. "And now we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." Did you catch that? We would like it as Americans to read, "out of their abundance and extra income and all of the stuff that they didn't need, they were able to be extremely generous." But it doesn't. It says, "out of the most severe trial and extreme poverty, it welled up in rich generosity." He says, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected. Instead, they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. And so we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. And so just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." This great generosity comes about as we recognize the gift of God in our life and the realization that He supplies our need, not just for us, but so that we would be able to share. And living with this great generosity, living with immeasurably more giving, isn't about doing an evaluation of our finances and resources. It's about doing an evaluation of our relationship with God and our trust in Him. He's writing and he's using the Macedonian church as an example, as those who, out of their extreme poverty, gave more than what they were able to give. I read that. How can you give more than what you're able to give? That doesn't make sense. That's not logical. If I have $20 in my wallet, I can't go up to somebody and here's $30. It doesn't work that way. Not by our math. But this extreme generosity happened because the people were willing to commit themselves to God first. And by committing themselves to God, God made what they had multiply to meet the needs that existed. And so they did the math and they said, well, I have this much extra I can give. And God says, but this is the need. And so they gave more. And they trusted God to supply what was beyond their ability. You see, we live with this great generosity when we respond to the needs based on God's conviction rather than on our intellect. Loving God requires faith. And living with immeasurably more giving says, I understand more fully every day just how much more God has given me. And when I understand His gifting in my life, that includes finances, but it's so much bigger than that. And we begin to be great, generous people because we give beyond what we're able to give. Talked a little bit about this past week, that Peter and John are approached by a man who's begging. That's the way he's living. He's a crippled man. He can't work. His livelihood depends on the generosity of people. And he's wanting money. And I'm guessing you've seen people in our community that they have their hand out and they're wanting money. And some of them need money. But many of them need much more than money. And our extreme generosity ought to be able to say, I may not have what you think you need, but God has what you really need, and let me share Him with you. That was the response of Peter and John. He says, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have, we can offer in the name of Jesus. And they commanded this man to get up and walk, and he did. Sometimes it's easier to give money than to give according to the real need, because it takes time, it takes investment to work and sit with someone and share Jesus with them. But we live with immeasurably more giving when we live with this great generosity that understands what God has poured into us and we're willing to share it freely. But we also live with this immeasurably more giving when we live with a great instruction. You see, God didn't just turn us loose and say, have fun and do whatever you feel like doing. And as Paul uses the Macedonians as this example of extreme generosity, he wants to go on and say, well, here's the backstory. Here's the instruction for all of you. Because sometimes we read things like that and it's almost like this guilt trip. Well, if they can do that, I guess I have to. I don't want to be looked down upon as less of a Christian than they are. And Paul says, that's not what this is about. And so beginning in 2 Corinthians 8, beginning at verse 8, he goes on with the great instruction of generosity. The great instruction of giving. He says, I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that through His poverty you might become rich. Jesus, present with God in heaven, surrounded by angels that do His will, perfectly according to whatever he wanted. Let go of all of that. To be born and placed in a manger. To live with no place to call home. To give up the glory of heaven for a time so that we can receive that glory ourselves. And Paul writes and he says, this is what I'm trying to teach. This is the instruction of giving I'm trying to share. What will you sacrifice so that someone else can be where you are now? He goes on in verse 10. And here is my advice about what is best in this matter. Last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to give. And so now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. And then there will be equality, as it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Some would look at this and say, well, this sounds really socialist or communist or some ist kind of thing that isn't American. Well, it isn't meant to be American. It's meant to be Christian. And God's desire is that we learn this grace of giving, that we would take His instruction, not the instruction of our country, not the instruction of our world, not the instruction of Satan. And he's saying, I'm not telling you these instructions. I'm not giving you this information so that you can be worse off than what you are, but so that together we can all have what we need. This grace of giving says that I follow God's instructions. And that when God convicts my spirit, when He comes into my life and says, this is what you ought to be doing, that I follow through with that, not out of compulsion, but out of an eagerness to be obedient to Him. And yet we live in a time where our emotions try to lead us in one way. Our intellect often tries to lead us in another way. And we spend so much time battling between those two things that we forget to listen to God's Spirit leading us in His way. It's not that the needs are non-existent. The needs in this church family, the needs in this community are great. And we can see what happens when conviction sets in. Particularly if you're part of the South Bend Mishawaka community, and I'm guessing a greater area, it's actually made national news. You're familiar with the Smith family that lost 6 children now in a house fire. And to watch the outpouring of support from the community that says we have to do something to help has been incredible. And a family fund has been set up through First Source Bank. And if God has convicted you and called you to help that family, then there's a way to do that. But how many needs go by in our community that don't get the national attention, that we just turn a deaf ear to and the community doesn't rise up and share with what we have? How many needs exist within our family of believers here at Deer Run that don't get the publicity, that we're too ashamed of, or we're too proud to share, or we just don't think they deserve it, or whatever excuse we use? And God says, I want you to receive this great instruction about giving. It's not about making one person have less. It's about working together so that as you supply their need, they in turn can supply your need. It's not a one-way street. God says He has placed us in a body. He has given us a family that is designed to support and encourage one another. It's one of the reasons I love some of these fellowship gatherings that we've been having. And one of the things that the ladies talked about was the fellowship time, but the food. And the reason that the food was there and was so great is because they shared together. We've been doing that with the men's gathering as different individuals have helped prepare breakfast. And those things happen in our carry-in dinner, fellowship dinners. They happen because we each bring what we're good at. And it supplies the need for what someone else isn't good at. And that works in a meal. It works in life. And God's desire in this grace of giving is that we take His instruction and we put it into practice. The Bible says that as each member, as each person does its part, the entire body is built up into the headship of Christ. That's the instruction of giving that God wants us to have. And so we recognize this immeasurably more giving, this great generosity, this great instruction, but it must be based on a great faith. Because when we talk about giving, we talk about letting go of something that we often want. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6, says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, a lot of alls in there, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Immeasurably more giving requires that we become great in faith, because without the faith to plant a seed, we'll never reap a harvest. As one growing up on a farm, I learned that lesson well. I love fresh sweet corn just right off the stalk out of the garden and plopped in the pot of water to boil, and just can't get it better than that. But I learned early on that that does not happen unless you're willing to plant sweet corn seed. And when you put that sweet corn seed in the ground, you don't go out the next day and pick sweet corn. As much as I would like to, as much as I think that ought to be the way it works, it doesn't. And so I have to invest money in seed in order to plant it and have faith that it will grow. Otherwise, why would I spend money on something that I can't do anything with but except put it in the ground? I could go out and buy sweet corn. It wouldn't be nearly as good as what I grow, but I would have it right now. But this great faith says, I'm going to plant the seeds of generosity. I'm going to plant the seeds that God has allowed me to possess, and I'm going to wait and work and do what's required to help them to grow so that in due time it would produce a great harvest. Sometimes we begin to question, why should I help? Why should I give? Why should I do that? There's nothing happening. They're never going to change. It doesn't do any good. How do you know? Can you see the future? Can you see the seeds that have been planted in your life and recognize how they've produced where you're at now? There are a number of ladies that I can think of from my childhood. I think of Mrs. Border. I think of Mrs. Kuhn. I think of Mrs. Rossetti. I think of my mom. All Sunday school teachers that planted seed in my life that they had no idea would grow into what has been produced this far. But they planted by faith, realizing that what they were giving would result in what God wanted at the right time. And it's the things that we share. Sometimes it's that person that just needs some help with rent. It's that person that just needs some help with life expenses. And we think, well, why haven't they got it together on their own? This isn't helping. This is just enabling. And there is a line between that. But it's when we plant by faith and trust God to produce the results that we see Him do immeasurably more than we can think or imagine. And so this idea of excelling in the grace of giving says, I want God to produce what I could never do. And we follow by faith. We plant those seeds in the life of people, whether it's an encouraging word, whether it's a financial seed, whether it's a seed of time, whatever that is that we're giving, we do so by faith. And we trust God, and we continually pray to God that He would produce the harvest that He desires. Finally, in this immeasurably more giving, this great gift is not just a great generosity, a great instruction, or great faith, but it results in a great testimony. I'm guessing that we could go around this room and there would be many who could testify to the goodness of God as they've been faithful in giving out of everything that He has enabled them to do. Hallelujah. And in giving more than they thought was possible. Finishing out 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, people will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Jesus says that we ought to do our good works. We ought to do things that are good in a way that people see it and they don't pat us on the back. They don't put our name in lights, but in a way that people see it and they glorify our Father who is in heaven. The purpose of this immeasurably more giving is that the testimony of Jesus is spread throughout our community and throughout our world. God's desire is that we would continue to excel in the grace of giving so that His name could be made known. This morning, as I began to think and began to think earlier this week and in the application of what does this look like? How do we do immeasurably more that results in a testimony that honors God and lifts Him up? And there are a lot of ways we can do that, and many of those ways really are just between you and God. Many of those ways really are meant for you to be doing secretly and independently and behind the scenes. But there are times where we need to step up. And so you probably see it in your bulletin if you picked up one of those. There's flyers out on the table as well. We've done this at various times throughout our history as Deer Run, but one of the ways that I believe we can do immeasurably more and excel in this grace of giving is partnering with people who are helping people. And checking in with Hope Ministries here in South Bend, there are some variety of rather immediate needs that they have. Needs that minister to people in the name of Jesus. Needs that provide help and hope to people in the name of Jesus. And so through the end of February, we're going to be collecting a few things. It's not an exhaustive list, but things that are of utmost need to them right now. And we'll be gathering them here at the building and then taking them down there in order to put into practice a piece of this immeasurably more giving. But it shouldn't stop there. The question for every one of us as we come to this time of decision is, do you want to excel in this grace of giving? I can almost guarantee that if you don't want to, you won't. But if God's Spirit has spoken to you through His Word this morning and brought about that conviction that, yes, this is something I want to do, that the message has helped you to see how to do that. And so many times, I'm guessing many of us have said, I want to excel in the grace of giving, I just can't. Well, probably the better wording of that is, I just don't want to sacrifice. And this morning, as we come to this time of decision, the question begins, is Jesus in charge of your life? If you're here this morning, if you're watching online and you've never surrendered to Jesus, if you've never claimed Him as Lord and been immersed into Christ to have your sins forgiven and receive the gift of God's Spirit, this idea of immeasurably more giving probably sounds kind of strange. It may sound strange anyway, but if you're outside of Christ, it really makes no sense. That's the place to start, and I would love to talk with you if you need to make that decision. But for most of us, as we gather, we've surrendered to Christ, we belong to Him. We just get caught up in our American lifestyle of collecting, of accumulating, of serving self. And God says it's time to excel in this grace of giving. And I'm not talking about walking in here and emptying your wallet into the little box in the back every Sunday unless God says you're supposed to do that for some reason. I'm talking about giving of yourself to the people that you encounter. It may include your money, but it may include your time. It may include your ability. To excel in the grace of giving says, I recognize now that everything I have that is worth anything came from God. And because it came from Him, it ought to be up to Him how it's used. And I'm saying I'm willing to surrender. I'm willing to allow Him to have authority over those things in my life. So that this immeasurably more giving that He has done will be shared with those that He wants it to shared with. And together, as we grow in Christ, as we grow as family, we learn more and more each day about how God would have us to care for one another. And as we care for one another, that the world our community would see and say, look at how those people love one another. Jesus must be in their midst. If you have a decision that you need to make today, I would encourage you to make it. If you need to talk with someone about that, you're welcome to come in just a moment as we sing and join me in the room over here to my left, and we can talk and pray about whatever that decision is. But it's my prayer. God has done great things through Deer Run. It's my prayer that we continue to grow. We continue to excel in this grace of giving. Would you stand as we sing?